AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. We had something happen a few weeks ago that was just not right. Tornadoes in Minnesota in December. That should not have happened. That would have never happened. And as a matter of fact, the latest sign that climate change is real and it is happening in Minnesota at an alarming rate. This is the beginning of things, I think, that are we're going to be seeing coming on down the line. But I am not an authority on climate change. Someone who is meteorologist Sven Sundgaard. Of course, we've had him on the show talking about weather, but he's also not only known for weather, but also for travel. And also, he talks a lot about climate change, which you can see around. There's an article that he did recently for bringmethenews.com. He'll also be doing some other writing. We'll talk about that. I do want to make sure I mention right away from the get-go, if you love weather and you want to know more about the weather, including climate change, current forecasts, snowfall totals, we're going through winter, patreon.com/Sven Sundgaard. Sign up there, become a member, support Sven Sundgaard. It makes a great holiday gift for sure. And if you have, especially for someone that loves weather, Sven is absolutely fantastic, the best weatherman here in Minneapolis, St. Paul. And he's kind enough to join us to talk about climate change. Hey, Sven.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. I appreciate the time because I wanted to bring this up because you were on the air. We were talking about this, the tornadoes that came through in Minnesota. This, for you and a lot of other meteorologists, this was like, what? This does not happen. Minnesota does not get tornadoes in December, and yet we had, what was it, four or five total now?
Seven. Yeah, the count is up to seven.
Seven.
It is beyond comprehension, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Someone also mentioned to me, not only, and I don't know, you're a better meteorologist than I am, but the tornado that hit Kentucky, that hit all those states, went through there. And they said, that's a spring tornado. That should not happen in November, December. Those are tornadoes. The power that was behind that tornado should not exist in our atmosphere until much later in spring. I mean, is that true as well?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So Kentucky, obviously being further south, has had historically some tornadoes in December. That is not off the charts for them. But the type, yeah, of tornadoes, the damage that it caused, and also the conditions that led up to that. And that is, you know, there's a lot of parallels with what happened in Kentucky with ours. The difference for us is, of course, we have never recorded a tornado in Minnesota in the month of December, but it's a similar thing. The tornadoes are one thing, but all the conditions that combined to create that situation on December 15th were off the charts, bizarre, weird. And so if you know anything about probabilities, if you want to calculate, let's say, for example, there's a 10% chance of Matt McNeil voting for Donald Trump in 2024. Okay. And
not that high, but okay, fine. We'll go with it.
Or just use an example. A 20% chance that it hits 100 4th of July, and 50% chance that I have macaroni and cheese for dinner. And if we want to calculate all three of these things happening at the same time, what you do is you multiply them by each other. So you get an even smaller number that would equate to a 1% probability of all three of those things happening, right? So each one of those individually had a slightly higher probability. But when you look at what are the chances of all three happening at once, then you get a much smaller probability because you multiply them by each other. And that's what made the tornadic part of all this so bizarre, because you had the extremely off-the-charts moisture content, unusually low pressure, unusually warm temperatures, all three of those things combining to create really what would be an impossible scenario statistically.
Mm-hmm. This is coming to fruition. I don't know if you remember exactly, but in kind of the round ballpark figure, when did people all of a sudden start realizing, wow, the climate is really starting to act weird?
You know, in the U.S.,
yeah.
It's been pretty recently. You know, they do polling on this, and we finally crossed the 50% threshold, I think, just within the last 10 years. But I think when it really started to get attention was in the late 90s and then through the 2000s, you know. And a part of that was the media was finally covering it. They weren't too afraid to call it climate change. But it was just you could not ignore it anymore. You know, 1998, we had a super El Nino year. So it was already a warm year for the planet, but it was made worse because of climate change. And so the combination of those things made people really stand up and realize, wow, you know, it's the warmest year ever. And what's happened ever since is each of our warmest years globally keep happening in the most recent several years. You know, five of our warmest years are the last five years. You don't need to be a scientist to get that there's a trend there. Something is going on.
The reality, though, is that we have these, you know, warning signs, and we have this undeniable data that, you know, and it's the most basic data. It's observation. You know, you look at the thermometer and you write down the temperature and then you average it out. I mean, it's basic math. And yet it still is amazing to me that, you know, that it is amazing to me that even the most staunch anti-climate change person hasn't stopped, pulled back and said, okay, yeah, tornadoes in December, that's wrong. I've said a bunch of times, my dad remembered the days back when he was going to the University of Minnesota, 48, 49, 50, that in 1948, 49, 50, that basically you couldn't go outside in Minnesota between Christmas Day and Valentine's. It was just too cold. And now, you know, you're going to, you know, we've had Christmases which are, you know, 35 degrees, nice above freezing. And it really is remarkable how things have changed. And yet people still are not alarmed by this.
Yeah, no, it's well, I think like everything, right? I mean, this used to be more like a mind-boggling question 5-10 years ago, but I think we've learned now our politics has become so tribal and cultural, so that if you believe one side of things, you believe all of it. You know, you can't believe that Donald Trump won the election and that it was all a bunch of fraud, but then believe at the same time that, you know, COVID is not a hoax, that climate change isn't either a hoax or blown out of proportion. Like, they buy the whole package, you know? And I think because it's sort of, it's kind of like, I feel like some of the people who are the most dogmatic, religious extremists, what makes them dangerous is that they can't accept any crack in their beliefs because they're so insecure in it that it would blow the whole thing up for them. I feel like it's almost like that. If I believe one of these things, well, the whole thing could unravel. That's all I can put it on. But it's also just because there's the obvious side of, like, if you're a greedy person who just wants to continue making money off of something, you know, you have a stake in the fossil fuel industry in one way or the other, for example. Of course, then that's obvious. But I think it's also, if you don't want to have to do something about it, you have to deny it. Because if you admit there's a problem, then we have a responsibility to fix it, right?
Yeah. No, and to back up your point exactly is that it's remarkable. It took an entire town in Kentucky being scoured from the planet by a tornado that shouldn't have existed for a lot of those people to step back and realize, wow, what's going on here? And that I mean, it's at that level that our politics are so ingrained, it takes a cataclysmic biblical type of event for people to stop and say, well, maybe I am not right about this. And that's where we're at. I mean, we talk about the weather, how it's changed. We don't have Minneapolis-St. Paul winters like we used to have. I mean, what would this be comparable?
Nope, not
to,
at all.
Would this be comparable to what Southern Minnesota or Southern Iowa, or where are we at right now as far as what kind of typical weather we are having now compared to where it used to be?
Yeah, so I've actually dove into this question pretty extensively recently, and basically, between here and Arkansas, we have it's a pretty uniform 0.02 degree Fahrenheit every mile is the temperature gradient. There's not a whole lot of variation to that. If you look at the historical average annual temperature of a bunch of places between here and Arkansas, it's about the same, which means basically every 44 miles, the average temperature is a degree warmer as you go straight south. And so we know already that when we look at the last decade, our average annual temperature now is a little over 47 degrees. Historically, it was 45. And so when you look at that gradient and look at the map, we have already become what Mason City, Iowa historically was. So we're already northern Iowa now. Not the Mason City that you know now, but the historic Mason City you know, you look at 1900 to 2020, those average annual temperatures, that is the Twin Cities climate now. And the Twin Cities that we would have, that our, you know, grandparents and great grandparents would have known, is now up around Aiken and Moose Lake.
Wow. It's, you know, 2 hours north of here.
Well, and what's remarkable that too is, you know, you have some of these climate skeptic trolls out there who, oh, we only have 100 years of data, temperature data. Yes, in some places, but we also have really good, accurate data of ice core samples,
yes,
looking at sediments, and they all agree. The thing is, not one of these things conflicts with each other. Everything tells the same story. That's how we have a very confident picture in pretty crazy detail of Earth's climate over the last hundreds of thousands of years. Once we get past that, there's a lot more estimation that goes on, but that's irrelevant. You know, and people make the argument, well, Earth's been warmer. Yeah, it has. And you wouldn't have survived a second in it, you know, and it's not about warmer or colder. It's about the evolution of species on the planet. And when things change too quickly, you have mass extinction events, which is what we're in the beginning of right now. It's about the pace of change. We have not changed this quickly in a very long time. And that is what's disturbing for things on the planet. So again, if you don't believe the data, it's remarkable to look at. You can look at a map of where are moose today, where's their historic range, where are caribou today, i.e. reindeer, since it's, you know, we're in the realm of the season, and where were they historically? Where are the boreal forests of history today? That, you know what? They all line up with that retreat of about 140 miles an hour, 140 miles or more, which is exactly the same retreat as where our old temperature lines are. And we can say pretty confidently, sadly, that by the end of the century, moose will not naturally live in Minnesota anymore. It's just almost a foregone conclusion. Just like, you know, I don't think most Minnesotans realize that the northern quarter of Minnesota used to have reindeer. We should be almost a tundra, but we're not anymore.
And Sven Sundgaard joining us right now talking about climate change. When you talk to these skeptics and these people that, I mean, there's even people still today is like, who cares? It's a little bit warmer. What's the big deal? If you don't want to take anything else, you don't want to look at tornadoes and get bothered by the fact we had a report out that we have 2 weeks less of ice on our lakes in the winter and then 2 weeks less in the spring. I mean, the ice is less, and on some lakes it's even worse. And the reality is if you look at the economic impacts, snowmobilers, ice fishing, the winter sports, the people that depend on winter as a business, we're driving them as well north into Canada because there's just not going to be a product here for them to have. I mean, right now, I mean, does even Iowa have good enough ice on their lakes to get ice fishing anymore? I mean, that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah. It would be very, very inconsistent.
Yeah.
And, you know, to that point, too, yeah, obviously, if your business is revolving around winter, you need consistency. And, of course, we still get snow and we still get ice and all that. But, you know, in the Twin Cities, it's becoming inconsistent enough where it's a problem. You know, think of how many dog sled races have to get canceled or cross-country ski races have to be modified. Because, you know, every winter we don't know necessarily what we're going to have anymore. And this December is a great example, actually, of what's happening with Minnesota winters, where we are not surprisingly going to end up in the top 15% of winters, a very mild month, but also in the top 20% of snowfalls. So our winters are getting snowier as they get warmer because a warmer atmosphere holds more water vapor, and Minnesota still, for now, is cold enough most of the time, of course, to see snow versus rain. But that snowfall isn't translating into higher snow depths because we're melting it off. So so you see this greater variability in our snow cover. So that tells the story. Yes, we're getting more snow, but it's also melting. So you can't say, oh boy, we're getting a foot more snow than we used to. So January and February should be awesome. No, not that simple. Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's also such just a amazingly obtuse way to look at it is that, I mean, because like you said, I mean, I'll go back to the, Mark Linus's book, 6 Degrees, Our Future on a Hotter Planet, where he talked about what would happen to the planet for every degree Celsius we got warmer up to 6 degrees. And the reason why he says only 6 degrees, and people's like, oh, 6 degrees is no big deal. The last time the planet was 6 degrees Celsius more, I mean, you talk about global extinction, we wiped out 95% of all life on the planet was gone. I mean, everything was gone. So there's no vacation home in Baffin Island that you're going to be going to. I mean, there's just nothing left. And the reality is when you talk about these people that kind of put this out there, so it gets a little warmer, they just don't understand. This is more tornadoes. This is more rain, as we've seen here. It changes the dynamic of we can grow crops. And, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, we've already started to see wars being fought on this planet due to climate change because crops aren't growing and basically their populations are starving, so they're starting to attack their neighbors.
Or what is one of the big – I mean, there's lots of things that are being fought over, but one of the things being fought over in the Middle East is water.
Yeah.
Yeah, just basic access to water. And I think that's why it's so important that meteorologists, wherever they are, whatever platform – you have to talk about this almost daily because it is hard for the average person, I think, to just visualize the effects when we're talking about numbers. You know, 1, 2, 3 degrees Celsius sounds like nothing. You know, if the high today was 25 and you're telling me it's going to be 27, okay, what's the difference? My face still hurts the same amount or not. But it's, you know, the best way is I've done a number of these things is to explain statistically. When you warm, for example, take the example of middle of July in Minnesota. The average high temperature is 83 degrees. The standard deviation, which means, you know, what is the normalized number of degrees plus or minus that average that the vast majority of the numbers are going to fall in, and that's 7 degrees. So basically from
83.
Let's do math, Sven. Yeah, 76 to 90 degrees is where 68% of our high temperatures in mid-July will fall. And then you double that and you get 95%. You get the idea. Anyway, so what happens now, if we warm that average date half of a standard deviation, which is 3 degrees, which is under 2 degrees Celsius, right? So it sounds like a small amount. So now we're going to warm it up to 86. Again, not a big difference. But what happens is those extremes change. So 100 degrees in that data set is a once in a century value. Now you make it a once in 22 year value. So it's become 4.5 times more likely. And on the cool end, a high temperature of 66 degrees on July 20th should only happen once in 100 years. But now you've made it a once in a 370 year event. So just by shifting the pile, the average, just a few degrees, again, it seems like very little if you're in the middle of the data pile, but it exponentially adds to the extreme on the warm end and exponentially chops off the extreme on the cold end. And that's why we see these dramatic shifts on cold extremes where, you know, Minnesota, we used to in the Twin Cities hit 20 below zero or colder 3 times per winter was the average before 1900. Now it's once every 2 or 3 years, you know, so like last February, I keep telling people, everyone thought, oh my gosh, it was so cold. The coldest we got was 19 below. 2019 was the last time and the only time in the last 10 years where we got into the 20s below zero.
Wow.
We've just chopped off those cold extremes and added an exponential pile of warm extremes.
And with that comes exactly like those tornadoes. You get the strong fronts, you get more moisture, you're getting all these things. And it's not just, oh, I'll wear short sleeves today. It's oh, my gosh, you better get into the basement because there are going to be some storms coming through.
And that's why we titled the Bring Me the News article I did specifically on the climate change element of the tornadoes. How did we make the impossible possible? It's just what we just talked about.
You had mentioned to me before we went on the air that we've risen so far on average 1.2 degrees Celsius We're trying to stop it to get it 2 degrees Celsius, which would still be a pretty cataclysmic change to the planet at the end of this. And there would still be a lot of die off that goes on there. If I'm just really quick here, because we've got about 2 minutes left, if you're just going to give advice to people as they live their lives here, where are the ways that people just can try to make an impact here?
Well, the biggest thing I always tell people, and I hate to be political, but it's become political. You got to vote, and you got to keep the pressure on politicians to fight for this issue. This is the issue of the time. You know, I know some politicians say inflation's the biggest thing right now. No, it's not. That comes and goes. And ultimately, none of that matters if the planet isn't habitable. So the big thing is we got to put pressure on our elected leaders. We got to keep the pressure on. I mean, we all know the other things, you know, eat less meat, try to use less energy. But 71% of our greenhouse gas emissions are coming from industrial polluters. So we have to tackle that. You know, we have to put, and that again gets back into the politics. We have to hold people to account, and all of us around the world, all the countries in the world who signed on to these agreements, we have to be each other's watchdogs, and we really have to just keep the pressure on, because we have time to prevent the most catastrophic outcomes, but we only have got maybe a decade or so to really prevent things from getting worse. Because like you say, we're already trying to slow a runaway train. The climate we have now is going to warm up. That is a fact that we cannot reverse just now. We're going to continue our slide south. And it's does the Twin Cities now become Ottumwa, Iowa, Southern Iowa, or do we become Kansas City, or do we become Fayetteville, Arkansas? Those are the scenarios that we're trying to deal with right now. We're continuing to move south. We're trying to stop the car. We're not going to stop at where we're at now, but where do you want to end up?
Sven Sundgaard, once again, if you catch his weather forecasts on YouTube. They're quite good. If you want more weather and you do want more weather, his content is exceptional. I recommend it. Patreon.com/Sven Sundgaard. Sign up. Become a member there, and as well, it makes a fantastic Christmas gift, holiday gift. If you've got someone that likes weather, Sven is the place to go, because you're going to get this great content. Not only weather forecasts, storms as it comes through in the winter, but as well talk about climate change, talk about other issues as well. Patreon.com/Sven Sundgaard. Definitely get in there and take advantage of that. Sven, as always, I really appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.